So I suppose I have to ask, since it used to be a funeral home, any haunted experiences in there?
You know, there's only been one incident, but I think that may have something to do with someone drinking a little too much rather than what they actually saw. So I'm not too sure.
Beer might have been a factor.
Yeah,
huh?
I think beer might have been a factor. But there was a some of our early servers started a rumor that our tables were actually made out of old coffins. And that rumor is still flying around.
That's a good one.
But yeah, it's actually made out of barn wood, but we still hear about it once in a while.
Okay, so. Okay. Now, Tom, you headed out to Portland in 2002. What do you remember of the beer scene back in GR before you headed out to Portland?
I was a regular at Founders. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed what they were doing. My former employer was WXMI. Mm-hmm. Down there off Plainfield, and it was a small brewery in the building right next to them. So after work, we would get off and enjoy a little pint of microbrew. Then there was Schmoes, I think.
Right.
Down on the southeast side.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they had a really, really great system, but I don't think they were using it to the full advantage. And that was pretty much it. When I went back this past year and even a couple of years ago, I was really happy to see all the leaps and bounds Grand Rapids is making. And now with this poll that came out, Grand Rapids is definitely in the national discourse for being one of the premier beer destinations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Somebody had mentioned the other day, I think it was on Facebook, that somebody came all the way from Toronto just to enjoy Grand Rapids beer. So I guess that's a real tip of the hat to Grand Rapids.
We have that all the time here, actually.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Very common. We have people from East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great that, you know, the city's becoming a destination for the beer enthusiast.
Yeah, but when people from Grand Rapids go to Portland, we realize kind of what we're lacking. I mean, we have some great breweries here. Vivant is an awesome addition mm-hmm. to the scene. I mean, Jason is very modest, but he's done an amazing job in just a short amount of time getting the Vivant brand and name.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, everyone knows Vivant. It's only been around for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. But Founders also world-renowned. But when we go out to Portland, and every corner seemingly has a brew pub or a bar with 30 craft beers on tap.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a different world. And I like to
say. It is insane out here.
What was the beer scene like there when you got there in 2002, Tom?
In Portland?
Yeah.
It was a community that was very supportive of its local craft brew.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were just coming off of the mid-90s sort of crash of the first wave of microbrew pubs, which I just don't think people were quite ready for it culturally as well as skillfully. You know, I mean, in the years since, the breweries that have opened, you know, we have a lot more education. We've got better systems. The engineering has become better when you get your system fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting out a product that is head and shoulders above, not in every instance, but, you know, in general, this is part of what caused the crash in the late 90s.
How many breweries are there now?
There's got to be over 50. And
wow.
I have a brewery project myself, and I've been working with SBA and in queue to get SBA approval.
Sure.
There's like 54 breweries that want to open here.
Wow.
And, you know, crazily enough, I think Portland is one of these cities that can sustain that growth-wise.
But how many do you think in the end that it can sustain on a long-term basis?
Well, you know, if you go to Germany and you look at Greater Franconia, you know, per capita, they sustain a lot more breweries than we do here in Portland, probably twice as many.
Sure.
So I think we're getting to a point where we're starting to, and not just with beer, but, you know, with food and a lot of our culture, we're starting to think more local.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, breweries that are in neighborhoods are being embraced by the people there. So it's something we're starting to identify with.
Right.
And that's why we keep eating so aggressively into the overall beer sales.
And right.
Still, as microbreweries, we're still only just hit 5% of overall beer sales. But I think we're going to see aggressive growth on the demand, at least, until we hit at least 10%.
And on the flip side, Jason and Mark, what do you think Grand Rapids can sustain? I mean, there's a lot more people getting into the game. I mean, you guys have very solid operations, but I think some people are just getting in it because they see it's a trend. What do you think can be sustained here?
Well, I think we've always got Portland to look up to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that place is amazing. And, yeah, that's just brews are part of the culture there. That's pretty cool. And I think we have that opportunity here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know there's a lot of breweries pending right now as well over here.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I haven't had a chance to go out and see some of these breweries or meet a lot of the people yet. But, you know, as long as the people that are starting them are they're passionate for beer.
Sure.
I think it's going to, you know, there's room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the city of Grand Rapids, I believe there are something like 140 liquor licenses.
Really?
Within the city limits.
Okay.
And how many breweries? 10?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only 7%. People think it's, you know, oh, it's too many. It's saturated. It's going to crash. It's still only 7% of the total liquor licenses are breweries or brew pubs here.
So there's quite a lot of room for growth still at this point.
I believe in Portland, it's something like 30%.
Okay. Okay.
Tom can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's... maybe not 30% of the liquor licenses. I haven't looked into that, but 30% of the beer drunk is non-Bud Miller.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, definitely one of the highest percentages. Yeah, I don't know. Do you know anything about that, Tom?
Well, I know that. I think that's probably about right, with the exception maybe of, I think PBR does just about all of its sales here in Portland to the hipsters.
We saw a lot of that here, too.
So, Jason, you kind of touched on food briefly. How important is pairing food with beers?
I think it's important. It's just something I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how we talk about it is, you know, we make great beer that can be enjoyed on its own, and we make great beer that can be enjoyed on its own as well. But if we can create that experience and put those two things together, they can complement each other and create like an entire experience.
Sure.
And that's kind of what we're trying to do. You know, and there's all sorts of, you know, everyone's got their own opinion on it, and we just try to bring interesting beers together with interesting food, and if they complement each other and people enjoy them, great, but we're not trying to tell people that, you know, you can only drink this beer with this food. You know, it's not regulated like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the end, you know, if you enjoy how this beer tastes with this food, then it works.
Mm-hmm.
But we just try to draw a little attention to it and kind of celebrate that, you know, brewer and chef have a similar task, and we have them both under the same roof, and we just try to play with that as much as we can, and sometimes we'll create a food to go with a specific beer, and sometimes we're going through a process right now, we're actually creating a beer to go with a specific dish.
Okay.
So it's kind of fun having both under the same roof to kind of play around that a little bit.
Okay, okay.
So to us it's important, but you know, it's not all and everything, you know. Certainly I enjoy a beer just on its own. I don't have to necessarily have it paired with something.
But, okay. What are your thoughts on that, Mark?
I think a lot of brewers who get into the business are there because they like to brew beer, they like to drink beer, and they actually have no desire and maybe no background or competence in running a restaurant or a kitchen alongside the brewing operation. But I think that's a mistake for all but the very best and most widely known breweries. For instance, Founders doesn't really have a kitchen. They have sandwiches, and those are very good, but they don't really have a restaurant kind of thing. They can get away with that because they're Founders. You know, Bell's the same kind of thing, but for a newer brewery that's starting up, I really think it's important to offer food. You're really limiting your market dramatically. People will leave at dinner time and go home because they have to get they have to eat, or they won't come in till after dinner. You're really limiting the broad spectrum of customers that you could get if you had food that could be paired with the beer. So to me, food is very important when you have a brewery or a brew pub, especially a brew pub where you're surviving kind of just on that one location.
And Tom, what's your experience out there with well-paired food and beer?
I think the Portland market has evolved a little more than the Grand Rapids market, you know, not that disparagingly, but we've had this brew revolution here for a longer period of time. And I think the food pairing is sort of part of that natural evolution. When there's more awareness and there's more chefs interested and you have more styles on the market, and maybe not everything is like a hop bomb like it used to be, you've got more interesting flavors. It's more like wine. Like, for example, the beer that I'm kegging today for the Oregon Brew Fest is a Creek. And I aged part of it in Pinot barrels that I got from Wine Country. And I was able to achieve use a lactic profile I was looking for in that phenol barrel, and then blend that back into the base that I had in the steel.
Okay.
And then another blend that I had some already soured beer, some wheat, and I blended that in. And so you wind up with a beer that evolves, is a fruit forward, and then as it warms up, the phenol characteristics and the oak comes out. And that sort of thing just demands almost to be thought of with some sort of foods. And, you know, like when I was at Brewery Vivant, I was very impressed with, you know, the styles you had and your pairings. You know, when you think of it, we're only 50 years away from Prohibition, where no one could think about this. Mm-hmm. And we're only 15 years away from the microbrew revolution.
Right.
And then there was this flood of just giant hop bombs in the market. And now we're just starting to see like a really wide variety of really well-done beers. And it's only natural that chefs and people start thinking about them.
Sure, sure.
Pairing the food.